Well, top of the morning to you, brethren. Certainly is nice to be here with you on a very, very beautiful Sabbath day it is. Sunny skies, and it's just beginning to warm up. Nature is all around us. You know, I was thinking about nature, and sometimes all we have to do is to study it carefully, and we just might be able to learn something from nature itself. Of course, nature includes everything that God has made. The plants, the animals, the stars, everything. So today, I would like to key in on three creatures that God made that are found in nature. And as we learn something about these creatures, hopefully we'll learn something about us and God Himself. So I've titled this message today, "The Buzzard, the Bat, and the Bumblebee. What can we learn from them?" It's kind of a peculiar title, but I think once we get going here, you will understand. Let's take a look at the very first creature that we'll be discussing today, and that is the buzzard. What can we learn about the buzzard? What do we know about the buzzard? Well, you know, the buzzard is a relatively large bird of prey. It glides through the air, circling around carcasses that perhaps were hit by a car on the road. It's kind of a cleanup type bird. It's a scavenger, what they call a scavenger. But the buzzard is very agile. It has tremendous vision. It also has a very keen sense of smell. So the buzzard is important. But the buzzard has a weakness. Does anybody know what the weakness of a buzzard is? The weakness is that if you put this buzzard in a 6x8 pen, it will not look up. Because you see, this pen is open. He never will look up. As a matter of fact, the buzzard must run perhaps 5-10 steps in order for it to take flight. Without that runway, the buzzard will just sit there and will never look up. Like in this pen, the top of it is wide open. He never looks up. He'll be a prisoner there, even though the top is completely open. Now, what can we learn here about the buzzard, spiritually speaking? Well, what we can learn is, are we caught up in our own 6x8 pen of a world and not look up to God? Not notice that open space up there? Looking up to God for help, for guidance, for our salvation. Some people don't look up. Let's take a look at Luke. Luke here, chapter 21, if you would, brethren. And in verse 27, you know, sometimes I give my titles and people kind of laugh at them, but they do have a meaning. I try to make it interesting. Luke 21, verse 27. "And then they will see," it says here, "the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." I'm in Luke 21, verse 27. And of course, this is Christ. In verse 28, "Now when these things begin to happen," and he just got talking to the disciples and the audience that was there about things that were going to happen during the end time. What does he say here? Now, when these things begin to happen, notice, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption, or salvation is another word here for redemption, draws near. And of course, when we look up, we're to look around as well. You know, world events that are taking place. He was looking to tell the people to look at these seals, look at these trumpets, because they're going to befall mankind. We need to be looking up to God when these things begin to happen. David also wrote about looking up. Let's go there. Psalm 5, if you would. Psalm 5. I love David because David just has a very clean heart. He tells God like it is. God listens to him. Look what he says here in Psalm 5 and in verse 3. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, says David. So David is going to sing to God, praise God. He's going to talk to God. He's going to pray to him in the morning. And it says here, in the morning I will direct it. Direct what? The voice. His voice to you. And I will, notice, look up. Oh Christ. David, looking up to the Father. Let's go to John 17. John chapter 17 and verse 1. This again is Christ. He's our model, isn't he? What did he do? John 17 and verse 1. Jesus spoke these words. And he did what here? Lifted up his eyes. Where? To heaven. And said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Notice it says here, the hour. Look how precise God is. The hour has come for Christ to be glorified. He was just about ready to be crucified here. He was going through some mental anguish, I guess you would say. Let's go to Psalm 24 and in verse 9. But Christ looked up. He lifted up his eyes. He's not like the buzzard. He lifted up his eyes. Psalm 24 and verse 9. This is again David. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So the buzzard doesn't look up, but we, as God's people, begotten children of God, we should not be like the buzzard. We should always look up to God so he can help us. Let's go to the second creature here that we're talking about, and that is the bat. What do we know about the bat, and what can we learn from the bat? It's kind of a scary creature, actually. But the bat is totally blind from birth. All the bats are blind. And he hangs upside down in these dark, dreary, moist caves. He flies around at night, evading obstacles like trees, bushes, whatever perhaps might be in his way. He just somehow, miraculously, avoids these obstacles. He has super acute hearing and smell capabilities as well. It is equipped with a sophisticated radar that can detect its next meal miles away. What a remarkable creature, very nimble creature this bat is. But the bat, like the buzzard, also has a weakness. Do you know what that is? If it's placed on the floor, a flat floor like this area here, perhaps that table over there, the floor right here, if you put him on a flat surface, all the bat can do is shuffle around helplessly. He can't fly. You see, the bat has got to find elevation. It's got to find something higher than what it's sitting on. And then it throws itself in the air and takes off. Spiritually speaking, brethren, are some of us like bats? I include myself in all of these categories. Are we like bats? Do we shuffle around life, living helplessly on a flat surface of this what we call life? Are we just floundering around without God? Are we so deeply entrenched in our own problems that are on a daily basis and forget about God? I know sometimes I do. I got to stand here and I got to tell you the truth. I do. Or do we elevate our prayers? Just like that bat has to find elevation, do we find elevation time to pray to God, to cry out to Him? You know, sometimes we have to pray to God and just tell Him how happy we are instead of asking Him for things all the time. He wants to hear our voice, the voice that He gave to us. He wants to hear our voice in singing in here. He doesn't want really a canned choir routine. He wants to hear our voice that He gave to us when we were born. So we should pray to God whether we're afflicted or not, whether we're joyous or not. Pray to God. Let's go to Psalm. Psalm 34 in verse 17. Did you ever go to God and tell Him how happy you are, what He did to you? Or do you just go to God and just say, God, I need this, 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 and that. I need this. Please help me with this. Please help. What about the joyous times? Psalm 34 and verse 17, if you would here, brethren. It says here, the righteous. Hopefully all of us are somewhat righteous. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. God is near the people who aren't haughty, who are not arrogant, boisterous, loud. No, God is near the people who are meek, who are modest, who have a broken heart. That's the people that God is near. And look what it says in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Anybody in here not have any kind of problems? No type of afflictions whatsoever? I think we all do. So you understand here that we need to elevate our prayers to God in a nice, meek, contrite, willing to learn heart. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 now in verse 9, if you would. All of God's people cry out, elevate their prayers to Him. Isaiah 26 verse 9. With all my soul I have desired You in the night, says David. Now here's David crying out at night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek You early. I remember reading in Daniel, that Daniel prayed to God three times a day. Morning, noon, at night. I don't do that. I should. But here's Isaiah reaching out to God. For when Your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Are we learning righteousness? Hopefully we are. We're in training camp right now. But many people out there aren't learning righteousness. There's no way. So this is speaking of the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. So we shouldn't shuffle around like this bat, but rather, you know, we should elevate our prayers, even joyful prayers, to God on a daily basis. Elevate our fasts, our meditations, our joys. Let's go to the third creature here. See what we can learn from this third creature, and that is the bumblebee. What can we learn from the bumblebee? What do we know about the bumblebee? Well, we know that if we touch it, chances are you're going to get stung by that bee. And some of that sting stuff that they throw out is sometimes it has an adverse reaction on people. Some people actually get sick from a bee sting. So you need to stay away from the bee as far as touching it. But the bumblebee is a very hard worker. He works night and day all around. It pollinates our plants. We have a garden at our house there, and we see these flowers that are around our cucumber plants. And he goes there and he pollinates, goes one from one flower to another, pollinating everything. You know, without the bumblebee doing that, we would have nothing to harvest. Is that not true? We wouldn't have anything. Our cucumbers, our vegetables, our fruits would be nothing. Well, it's very important. The bumblebee is very agile, has great eyesight. It can fly up, down, forward, backwards, circle around, does all kind of very agile creature. But the bumblebee has a weakness. It has a weakness. If you take the bumblebee and somehow drop him in a glass jar, you know what? That thing's going to try to get out on the sides of the jar, even though it's glass and he can kind of see through that glass. He's going to try to get out the sides. He's going to try to get out on the bottom as well. But the bumblebee cannot go up, cannot look up either. Eventually, this little bee will lose heart, work really hard trying to get out, but it will eventually give up and die in that jar. I brought this thing. I made this at home. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. You know, I've never lived in a place that had carpenter bees, but Georgia has carpenter bees. This is a carpenter bee trap. The carpenter bee does not pollinate anything. What the carpenter bee does is he drills holes in wood, just like this, probably about 45 degree angle like this. I drilled this hole. They prefer having a 45 degree angle drilling this hole. And what happens is the bee goes in here, he thinks he's drilled this, but I did the work. I get the credit for that. He thinks he drilled this hole, see? So the bee goes in here, sees that it's all dark, except one area down here on the bottom. Let me just open this up for you. You see there's a hole down here too. And the light from that clear jar goes through here and goes up there. The bee sees this hole. It's about half an inch. And the bee goes down this hole. And you know what? He's trapped. He can never remember, never bothers to look up, to go up the way he came and out to freedom. So he's stuck. He tries to get out, but he will eventually die. So spiritually speaking here, brethren, are some of us like bumblebees? Do we persist in doing our own thing, trying to solve very, very difficult problems? Now, I know some problems are easier than others, and we can, you know, take care of those. But some of these things that are just so difficult, you know what? If we try doing it on our own, we're going to be like this bumblebee. We're going to keep trying and trying and trying. Eventually, give up on God. But the Bible tells us very clearly, never give up. Don't get tired. Let's go to Hebrews. I'll show you this here in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35, therefore do not cast your confidence. In other words, don't give up. Just another way of saying don't give up. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. I gave a sermonette on endurance last month. It really is a pretty good one in the sense that it tells you how you can keep that endurance, how you can build that endurance. Because you know what? We have to have it. That endurance is so important. For you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, you may receive what? The promise. What promise? The promise of eternal life, immortal life with God the Father and Jesus the Christ. We have to keep going. We cannot lose heart like this bumblebee. We have to keep going. Galatians 6. Let's go to Galatians 6 here very quickly. Even the Apostle Paul here talking to the Galatian church talked about growing weary, growing tired. What should we do? Galatians 6 in verse 9. Let us not grow weary, Paul says to the Galatians. And he's telling us too right now, today. While doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we don't give up. So you see how important this is about not giving up. What can we learn from the bumblebee? Don't give up. Isaiah 41, this will be the last scripture here. Isaiah 41, and in verse 10, it says here, this is Isaiah, and he says, fear not, for I am with you, speaking of God. Be not dismayed. Don't lose heart. That's just another way of saying don't give up. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. Even Christ. In Matthew, we don't have time to go there, but Matthew 6 in verse 25. Christ is telling the audience, the people who are listening, don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to drink. Don't worry about the clothes you're wearing. Don't worry about your hair. God is in charge. He's going to take care of it. His way, not my way. My way doesn't count, or your way. It doesn't count. God's way. So in summary, let's finalize this. If you have some of these weaknesses that these creatures have, and I think we do, all of us, I include myself as being the number one person, we have to remember to do three things. Number one, look up to God. Look up to God. Don't be like the buzzard. Number two, elevate your prayers. Even the joyous prayers to God. Reach out for that elevation. Number three, never give up. Never give up on God and entrusting Him. We should put our trust in God as obedient children of God. And you know what? We will reap the reward in God's time.